All right, hour number two, and we start off hour number two with the coach of the Kings, Dave Yeager. The Dave Yeager Show is brought to you by Petkus Brothers. Coach, good afternoon. How are you?
What's happening, man?
You know, we're doing good. Listen, I know you take these games when you lose, and it eats at you, and I got to believe that last night really ate at you. A very disappointing way to open up the homestand. Your thoughts and the disappointment after watching that game last night?
Yeah, it's not been a real fun day to sit at home, but
right.
It is, you know, those are chances, you know, for where we are as a team, you know, to get a win. And obviously they beat us twice this year, so, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, we needed both of those games, and we didn't come up with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think when you look at it and say, well, jeepers, if DeMarcus doesn't get 30 for us every night,
right,
are we going to be in games? And he had a tough night, and that happens. I mean, you're going to get a 55, and to be otherwise, he'd average 55. He averages 30. You're going to end up with a 10 or a 12 or a 13 some night, and you know, he had a tough night, and so that just is what it is. And we didn't get it done, and now the schedule gets tough because you got you know, you got the Clippers a couple times, you got Golden State four times, you got Cleveland coming up, so got to just keep battling.
Coach, I know it's a tough one when you're watching, but when you go to the bench and they start playing fantastic, the vibe and the feel, when do you know, or how do you feel that, okay, I'm going to go back with my starters, even though these guys have brought me back so far?
You're just trying to mix them in, I think, Doug. You know, and it's night to night, it's always different because,
yeah,
like in the second half last night, I didn't start Garrett Temple, but then I played in the last 16, 17 minutes straight. Mm-hmm. Right, of the game, I didn't sub him out.
Right,
I started Anthony Tolliver in the second half and played him till his legs ran out. Right, and started Aaron Aflalo and played him as long. I mean, and Aaron just played 31 some minutes and hadn't played for, you know, 10, 12 days until his. I mean, he could not have played anymore.
Right,
you know, so it was like I got that question, like, no, why did you put in DeMarcus Cousins back in the game? Because he's our best player. And, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Right.
Those, you know, they just ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And so you have to sub. And it also, you have the belief that it's just going to keep on going. They are the other, give the other team some credit, too. They are a pro team.
Yeah.
At some point, they're going to make their run, too. You know, if I leave them in, then I look like, you know, whatever. So that's what happened.
Coach, after the Memphis game, you talked about maybe rotation, and you mentioned Malachi Richardson's name. And, you know, we get a lot of calls on Ben McLemore. And again, last night he starts. He only plays 6 minutes, and in his 6 minutes, he was a minus seven, very ineffective. You know, listen, your options as a coach are your 13 guys. How difficult of a situation is this for right now with a player like Ben who's not being productive enough?
Yeah, it's a good question. A little, you know, where do you draw a line as far as, okay, I'm going to go in a different direction with one young player or another young player, one draft pick at such and such. And, you know, and I always want to be supportive of my front office, you know, and whatever, what's Ben McLemore's future here. And we want to give him an opportunity to say, yeah, you know what, I want to be here long term with my play. And looking forward to, you know, spending a long time here, or, you know, figuring out that it's not. And so it's a little bit more of a question, you know, for management, as far as the roster goes. But in my situation, you know, I did make the comment about wanting to get Malachi some minutes. I still intend to do that. Excuse me. But I think you're going to have Rudy Gay back here. These two games were, you know, two evenly matched teams both nights, and we needed to go, you know, 2-0. I didn't think with where Malachi is with his experience to go out there and play, some of those guys would have been, you know, Wayne Ellington is pretty hard to guard anyways. You know, that he should be killing us. But guys like that, whether he had to guard Will Barton or some of those guys. So I didn't think that was the right time in these last two games to play him. I still hope to get him in there somewhere.
Coach, earlier I used the word effort, and then I backed off of it because I don't think it's effort. But the defensive focus and intensity that you see, it kind of wanes from time to time. When you see it, and you're a I've seen you coach defense, so you understand when it's there, it is there. But when it's not there, how do you get them to have that, you know, because you're looking for 24 seconds of ultimate focus. How do you get them to do that consistently?
Good. I mean, I think they're, you know, guys are playing as hard as they can, and I think the guys are, you know, they're giving us everything they've got, and I'm proud of them. And maybe I was a little down last night, and obviously today, but we know in a minute to media last night, you know, being a little bit down and disappointed.
Right.
You know, the guys are giving us everything they got, and some nights you play well, and some nights you don't play well. But the guys have been playing hard, and you know, so it just is what it is. So, you know, the other team's got good players too, and so I'm proud of our guys. I'm proud that we've stayed together, and from everything that I've heard of what's gone on here the last 5-6 years, guys are fighting for each other. They're playing hard. So, you know, I don't know where the expectations are or not. And, you know, we're all competitors, so it doesn't matter who we play, whether it be Golden State or Brooklyn, you know, we're trying to go out and win.
You're the coach of the Kings, brought to you by Petkus Brothers. You were upset last night, probably the most I've seen you upset since coming to Sacramento. You got a technical foul, and from that point on, your team looked completely different. But I also said on TV that it looked to me like you were real close to getting kicked out of the game. I mean, I know when you're arguing like that, I don't know if that's going through your mind, but was it going through your mind at all that I may not be around to see the rest of this game after you got the first technical and you kept on going at it?
No, you just try to put on a good show, right, Grant?
You did. You put on a real good show, and I got to tell you, your team responded like they were shot out of a cannon.
Are you having to pay for that? Will Vlade chip in maybe and pay for that tech?
I don't know. No, take up a collection with DeMarcus and everybody else.
Yeah.
But, no, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, there's different things going on, and you try not to do it very often because and especially at home, I don't think it looks good for a coach to, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and that's kind of where I was last night, but where the calls are going and this and that. And then, you know, all of a sudden we get the next four calls, and then that bothers me, you know, because it shouldn't be that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? It should just be, you know, it never has to be equal. I never say, you know, free throws need to be 25 each for each team. That doesn't. But we just want, you know, I just felt like, you know, everybody thinks about DeMarcus when he gets hit or creates contact when he has the ball. He got hit a lot when he didn't have the ball and couldn't get to even to spots on the floor. They just, you know, it just was what it was. But, yeah, I agree, Grant. I got really hot. I got so much hot when I saw Elston Greg get in front of me. I really started going, you know, like, you know you're not going to fight somebody, right?
Right.
So you talk really tough when somebody's standing in front of you. And then you really talk tough. I'm like, yeah, let me have him. Let me have him.
You know, I was critical of the technical that Matt Barnes got, and I understand, you know, technicals are a part of the game, but I just think at some point in that situation, in such a tight game with only a couple of minutes left, you know, you coached here, you coached in Memphis, an assistant coach, you've been around a lot of coaches, but your philosophy, I mean, in a perfect world, I know you don't want you guys to get technicals, but did you talk to guys like that? Does that upset you? How do you handle that in that situation?
Yeah, I thought that was a terrible time for technical. You know, you have to, and it doesn't matter, you know, who it is, but you got to keep your composure because, you know, every point is critical. You know, one thing I didn't mention last night, I to move on from that, I agree with you. I thought that was a terrible time. We didn't need a technical right there. Tyler Johnson made two great plays. Now, we missed two layups. I think that basically ended the game. We had chances, you know, but we missed two layups where Tyler Johnson didn't quit. Ty Lawson's pretty fast, by the way.
And
he chased him down and got a piece. And then the next one was Darren Collison, and he's pretty fast. And he didn't finish either. And, you know, but everybody, oh, it's a layup. You know, no, it's not easy. But, you know, Tyler Johnson did make two great plays on those balls. And
yep,
give them credit. Those are the plays that help you win.
Yeah, winning plays. We talked about Grant and I yesterday about the homestand, the fact that 5-2 would be absolutely over the moon, and 4-3 would be really good. I know you talked about chopping the season up. Do you look at it maybe as a homestand, and what you might think would be good for the team and wins and loss?
Who do we have? We have Clippers, then Golden State,
yep.
And then Cleveland.
Yep. And Cleveland.
You said 5-2?
And then Oklahoma City, and then I'm not going in order, and you also have Detroit and Indiana.
Detroit and Indiana.
Well, listen, I was playing.
Stop laughing, Coach.
I was being post-holiday Santa Claus on the air yesterday. So I mean,
I said over the moon for five.
But I, what I said. Okay. I'll tell you what I said, Dave, because I don't. You probably didn't hear what I said. I said, you know what? If I'm looking at this from a fan's perspective of a team that wants to be in the playoffs and a team that needs to start taking care of home court, I said, okay, you know what? From a fan's perspective, I'm looking at the wins against Miami, Indiana, and Detroit. And as a fan, I'm conceding the Warriors game and the Cavaliers game. I think the Clippers, again, they beat Memphis last night, but they were without Chris Paul. I don't know. But then I said the bubble game was Oklahoma City, and I thought that the Oklahoma City game, based on the way I was looking at it, and I'm an idiot, and I've said that I'm an idiot for going and looking at the schedule this way, would be the difference between having a good homestand and a bad homestand. But I never in a million years thought you guys were going to lose last night. So what the hell do I know?
No, I think you're not wrong, though, Grant, you know, because I think when you look at it and you kind of from the inside, you look at it from the outside, it is what it is. But when you look at it from the inside, hopefully you beat somebody you're not supposed to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And probably, just the way things go, you might lose because you're home for so long. You might lose to somebody you think you shouldn't, mm-hmm. right? And so hopefully that happens now that we've
yeah, let's hope so.
The first one, right? So, you know, we go, why not? Let's go trip up the Clips. I think Chris Paul is going to play tomorrow. Or, you know, get a piece of Golden State's rear end or something. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know, but hopefully you can beat, if you're going to break into something, you got to beat some good teams. And then the better seasons that you're ever going to have here going forward is you got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. We did that in Memphis for a long, long time where, you know, you might take your lumps with Golden State, but you win the games you're supposed to win, and then you might win some other ones, and that's how you get your record.
You know, Coach, last night, 26 assists. I say the number all the time is 24 for this team. Shows me that the ball is moving around. Is there a number in your head that you like to see from an assist standpoint that says, good job, guys, I like the way the ball is hopping around?
No, I mean, I don't have a specific number, Doug, but I do. It more so happens when the shooting percentage is higher.
Okay.
I mean, we shoot 51%
right.
And lose. That just ticked me off, you know, but – and we didn't shoot well early. We did continue. Once we started attacking their paint, it was better. But if the field goal percent is up, that means we're making shots, and then the person whoever makes that pass gets an assist. But you got to go by your eye test. If we're standing around and ISOing a lot, you know, that hurts more than the number. So, you know, and speaking of that, I don't know if you guys want to talk about it or not. I'm hoping that Rudy Gay plays tomorrow night.
Great.
You know, I think he was looking at, you know, I sat down and talked to him before Denver, and he's like, Coach, I think I could probably go tonight, but I don't want to, I did it last week or whatever it was. And I felt like I could have played that night too. And then I heard it again, you know, like, and I said, well, why don't you, you know, it was my suggestion. If you sit these two more, will that help you play 2 weeks or 3 weeks straight? And that was kind of the idea there. So we're hoping that
that's great.
You know, that tomorrow would be, you know, it's not a great matchup, Bob Boutte just beats him up and does a great job against him. But, you know, it'd be good to have him back out there.
You know, before we let you go, I think sometimes fans, when a team plays poorly, they automatically think it's poor effort. And I know when there's effort and no effort. Doug
right.
knows, you know.
Yep.
But and I think that's a big misconception. So I'm just going to ask you, generally speaking, you know, you guys have had, what, 35 games this year. For the most part, have you been okay with the team's effort?
Yeah, and I think you have to say, okay, of more minutes than not, what percentage of minutes of a game have you been competing?
Yes.
I would say more than we haven't. Yeah, absolutely.
I like earlier when we were talking, Coach, I used the word effort. Then I had to back off because that's not the word I was looking for. I think it's more intensity and making sure that you're striking first and being the aggressor and being on top of the physicality. And when the Kings don't do that, they you guys seem to get in a hole. Then all of a sudden it begins to happen and the tides change, and that's what we saw last night. Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it says, you know, sometimes you're playing in a deficit. Sometimes the guy across from you is better. And so when you have that at three or four positions, you know, you got to fight like crazy.
Yeah.
And that's great. And so I think we've been doing that by and large. But night in and night out, when that happens, then, you know, you have a problem. And if you are not at your maximum level of focus and urgency, like you're talking about, then you get exposed for a couple minutes. So you go, okay, I got to pick it up, you know.
Coach, we will see you tomorrow. Have a good evening. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Boys, you are the best. And, Doug, you know, we talked about this last week. Now, you're what's your record on the road?
I'm doing great on the road.
You're a beauty, Coach. Oh, my gosh. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Appreciate you, Coach.
The Dave Yeager Show brought to you by Petkus Brothers. All right, 339-1140. He is a dandy. 339-1140, and as I said, 800-920-1140. Why don't we get to Chris? Hello, Chris.
Hey, Grant, Doug, how you doing today?
Good. What's happening?
All right. So, one thing that I don't know, maybe Doug can fill me in. I'm just a high school coach. One of the toughest things to do is scout for a team that doesn't have a roster that you're used to seeing on the court. Is that kind of something that you recall from your playing days, Doug? You know, it's seeing guys that aren't usually playing together play together.
When you say that, are you saying like the Kings scouting against Miami, or just looking at our team?
Oh, well, the Kings versus Miami, but it seems to be that we play against teams, the Kings speaking, that have an unusual roster due to injuries, and there always seems to be that one guy that you don't expect to beat us. They're the one that beats us.
Yeah.
Is that a scouting thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's scouting, because I would say it's scouting, but a lot of the times, you know, it's intensive. You have all that information. There's a bunch of video. If you want something, the Kings are great. They will get it on video. You can see it, pop it right up. And I've been in the locker room beforehand. Coach goes over the board. There's everything that you want to know. Probably too much information. He's got it all up there on the board for the guys. So they know what it is. These guys are professionals. And a lot of times, a guy like Tyler Johnson, he didn't play the night before. Fresh legs, comes in. You know he's aggressive. And sometimes you see it firsthand, and it's in your face, and you might not believe it, that the other night somebody was shooting three-pointers in Denver, and I said to Grant, I didn't know he could shoot three-pointers, and then bang, 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 he reeled off three in a row.
It was Darrell Arthur,
and you gotta believe it. So they're up on the scouting reports, that sometimes you just don't believe the scouting report, but you gotta believe it.
Yeah, I have a problem with that with my players. They don't seem to believe my scouts. okay, and that was kind of one of the things that I was also thinking about with the bench mob coming in yesterday and taking care of business for that nice little run, is most teams don't see those guys all together playing together. And so maybe that's
interesting of what you say about the bench. A lot of times what ends up happening is they end up getting to practice together a little bit more than even the starters, because the starters are playing more minutes, and the bench gets a real nice flow of learning to play together. They'll play 2-on-2 and 3-on-3 after practice, so they get this little rhythm. And I think that's what you saw last night, guys who probably play in practice a little bit, and they have that energy and that feel for each other, and they really, really played well last night.
Hey,
thanks
for the call. Appreciate it. If you want to call, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. A lot of basketball talk in this first hour and a half. We'll talk NFL, because we got a lot of playoff football that we need to get to, including the Raiders and the Texans on Saturday. We'll look at the other games as well. It is the first weekend of the playoffs in the NFL.
Oh, boy.
And oh, boy is right.
That's right. It's going to be a dandy, man. I can't wait. Let's get it on.
Yep. It's going to be – it's always fun, man. The football playoffs, obviously, if you're a fan of a team in the playoffs, it's better. But still, as we get down to the championship
games. Your team in the playoffs?
Hmm?
Is your team in the playoffs?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay.
I wish they were playing Seattle, because then I know for sure they would have made it to at least the second round.
Well, just a second. I'm going to tweet out a picture.
Hey, listen. It's it's possible.
Is it?
Not likely that they could play in the NFC Championship game.
That would be awesome,
that would
boy.
Be.
Must see. Must
yes,
hear
yes,
radio.
Yes. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Grant. Hey, Doug.
Hey.
You know, I've been listening to you guys all day, and while I'll agree that perhaps then that effort is a wrong word to use, that, you know, guys go out there and they're playing hard and they're trying. But when I look at the Kings, I see poor decision-making. And I don't know if you say that's because they're not a smart team or not. And when I say poor decision-making, this is what I talk about. I'm talking about, Grant, I agree with your point 100%. You cannot lose to a 10-win team if you plan on being a playoff team. And
twice.
To me, a measure of a team's maturity comes when it recognizes the teams and the games that they have to win. Because to me, and the coach just pointed out, in this league, it's about winning the games that you have to win and then finding a way to win some games that people don't expect you to win. The maturity or the immaturity of the Kings was revealed last night when they came out in the first quarter. And just from a standpoint of there's no way that Miami should be in this game. And I think one of the things that the Kings don't recognize, or maybe they do but don't do anything about it, is this. While we look at teams on the schedule and say, okay, this is a team we should get a win from, those same teams are looking at Sacramento saying, this is a game we can get a win from.
That's what I said earlier.
When they're on the road team, you know, when they're on the road trip and they're saying, okay, we got San Antonio, we got Oklahoma City, we got Houston, okay, we can get a win in Sacramento. So they're going to come with a better effort against Sacramento than maybe against a San Antonio or Golden State, because they don't feel they can win those games. They feel they're equal to the Kings. They feel they can get wins here.
Thank you.
The Kings ought to be smart enough to understand that they're going to get the best effort from teams like that. The maturity of the team has got to come to the forefront when they recognize they got to come with a better effort.
Thank you, Ken.
Teams like that. That's all I want to say. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, I said that earlier. You know, to put in perspective what a fine line there is between being 500 and not, the Miami Heat have 11 wins. The Dallas Mavericks have 11 wins. Sacramento has 3 losses. If you had taken those 3 losses and turned them into 3 wins, the Kings would be 18-17 right now, and everybody would be going gaga.
Gaga.
No, you know what I mean?
Oh, just, boy.
So now think about that for a moment. Right?
You want to give me a migraine?
But don't. But you see how, like, the
fine line
between being, like, coming on the radio and having 4 hours of negativity, as opposed to coming on the radio and I don't want to say opening up champagne bottles, but could you imagine if the Kings were 18-17 right now?
Yeah, but also the fine line, Grant, of winning and losing.
Yes.
And that is, man, I can't even imagine, Coach Yeager, sometimes that it must be so frustrating, because you see it and you want it for your guys, but you got to want it for yourself consistently long enough to get to that point, and you'll win those games.
We'll be right back. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We're going to switch gears here, and we'll get back to your phone calls, all right? So don't think that if you're on hold, we're not going to get to you. But Miami, I said this yesterday. If you told me that one of the road teams was going to win,
yep.
Okay. Miami would be my last
surprise.
Surprise. Yeah. Okay. But you know what? 60 minutes, turnovers, a special teams return. That's what it's all about. So we're going to talk about the Dolphins. Joe Rose, the analyst for the Miami Dolphins. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on, Joe. It's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm an old guy that lived outside of Sacramento, grew up outside in Marysville, California, so it's always good to be with you guys.
Well, Joe, I got to tell you, the fact that you're living in South Florida, you're a smart man, okay? So no disrespect to the people in Marysville, but no, I appreciate you saying hi to everybody, and it's great to have you on.
Listen, thank you.
Joe, you know this. Nobody in the world is expecting Miami to win, but as long as the 53 guys in that locker room and the coaches feel they can, that's all that matters. How do Miami win? How on earth could they win this game? Give me your thoughts.
Well, you hit a bunch of the things. They've got to play a clean game. You know, being around the team this week, they got a lot of injuries. Everybody knows that. The defense is full of special teams players now playing on defense, playing a lot of snaps. They've had to pick some guys up, bring some guys up from the practice squad to guys are going to have to play this week. So they're going to need to get some takeaways. Like you said, they got to play a clean game. You can't turn the ball over 2 or 3 times on the road. But offensively, they've got most of their guys, and I think they feel they can have some success. I tell you, Jay Ajayi, Jarvis Landry, Damian Williams, those guys are cocky, confident dudes, man. They got some serious dog in them that they think they can win this game, and it kind of bleeds through the whole team on both sides. And so we'll see how that all plays out. But, you know, when you win 9 of 11 games, you feel pretty good. So even though They lost to New England last week. I think the Dolphins still pretty good, that they got a chance, and they understand they're 10-point underdogs. They heard that all day today and yesterday. But they kind of like that. They like that underdog. Somebody said today, I think we've been underdogs the last 3 months in about every game they've played, so they're used to it.
Joe, when you look at the three-headed monster for the Miami defense, when you look at the three-headed monster of Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, of those three, which one gives that defense probably the most, apprehensiveness to say, oh, boy, we got to watch out for him?
Well, you'd say Le'Veon Bell, who only played 12 games and had 1,900 total yards because he's so good as a running back and as a pass receiver, but I'm going to go with the guy that's from down here in Miami, and Antonio Brown, okay. And he's got it rolling right now with Big Ben. You got to worry about that running game. I figure Antonio Brown probably gets targeted 10 to 12 times, and some of those are going to be over the top. So Big Ben loves to throw the ball deep. He plays well. I do agree. I saw Sports Illustrated came out with an article. Ben Roethlisberger seems to be that one-star quarterback, fellas, that we never talk about, right? We get so caught up in Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, we kind of forget about Ben Roethlisberger and how good he's been.
I'll tell you who else has been great. And, you know, to me, he probably won't win it, but he should deserve consideration for, you know, best coaching job this year. Tell me what you like about Adam Gase.
Well, I'll tell you, it's we've had some real stinkers around here the last 15 years. We've had coaches that we've hired, I don't know if they're good enough to be high school coaches. Some of the things they've done, we've been dysfunctional, and this guy, he brought it all back. He took control of this thing. He got this culture. He got guys to buy into what he was doing, and he communicates really well. He's a 38-year-old head coach, and things that he says happen, he gives them tough love. He's cut a couple of starters. He's also sat some guys home, didn't let them travel when they had a little bit of attitude, and he felt they were pouting a little bit. So he hasn't been afraid of tough love, and I think the guys have responded, and they actually like it. Guys that you thought would be leaders have become leaders, and I think a lot of that has to do with him too. So he's really built a great culture around here, and I tell you, you know, a lot of times you give the president, you'll give the general manager, you'll give VP of football operations all the credit. I give Adam Gase a lot of the credit for getting this turned around, getting Ryan Tannehill's game turned around. Matt Moore's having success as a backup quarterback. We've had a guy now go over 1,000 yards, a receiver and a running back. I just think he gets a lot of credit for what's going on with this football team.
Joe Rose, Miami Dolphins color analyst. Fins up, I guess, as they say. A buddy of mine is a Dolphins fan. So
they just started that, you know?
Yes.
When I played in the 80s, I never heard that, fins up. And now all of a sudden I go around town and they go, hey, fins up. And I go, oh, yeah, fins up. Yeah,
my buddy goes with that at CSN. Tannehill out, Matt Moore in. Expectations maybe for a quarterback that's going to see some terrible towels flying at him fast and furious all night long?
Yeah, listen, playing in Pittsburgh, I mean, they're a 10-point underdog. Las Vegas didn't build all those gorgeous buildings by accident, you know? I think we all get that. And whether it's Matt Moore or it's going to be Ryan Tannehill, they're both playing well. I think Matt Moore's played as well as any backup quarterback in football. He's got 3 starts. He's 2-1. We also laugh. He got a save in the fourth quarter against Arizona by leading them down on a last drive after Tannehill got hurt to kick a field goal. So he's been really good. I mean, the guy's got a quarterback rating over 100. I thought he played well last week against New England. Had a costly fumble that would have made it a 1-score game in the fourth quarter. So, you know, there's a lot of confidence with Matt Moore. He's got a lot of experience. He was the MVP of this football team before Tannehill took over. So there is a lot of confidence. The fact he loves to throw the football, those three guys playing on the outside, really love playing with him.
We're talking Miami Dolphins with Joe Rose. You know, I was, you talked about playing, you know, in that era with one of the top quarterbacks in the history of the game and, you know, being a tight end. I guess, you know what, always expect the football's coming your way and it would be coming real quick, right?
Yeah, you learn, you know, it's funny playing with Marino and his quick release. And when he first came to the team, I'd already been on the team for a couple years, and he would throw 10 to 12 yard curls and stuff in the middle, and he'd try to knock you over. So what happens is you go from catching the ball in your hands to all of a sudden body catching the football, which anytime you start doing that as a receiver, it ends up at some point being a disaster. So, yeah, until he slowed it down a little bit on the shorter passes, but you're right, you better get your head around quickly because they got from point A to B faster than anybody in the history of the game.
You know, if you don't mind me going on a little tangent here, because I've always been interested in this, you know, like as great as Dan Marino was, you know, he goes to the Super Bowl his first year, and, you know, Ben Roethlisberger did the same thing, but Ben's been back.
Right.
And, you know, I know as an athlete, you're like, well, gosh, this is great. We got this guy. We're going to be in the Super Bowl every year. And then it never happens again. And if I don't have your bio in front of me, but I know you were on that team. Can you talk about, you know, having that guy, and you know, when you see Dan Marino, wow, okay, we've arrived, we've got the great quarterback, and this guy's the real deal, and then that's it. You won Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
We left Stanford after we lost to the 49ers and Joe Montana. We left that game. We got beat up pretty good. I mean, they let us have it pretty good, but I'll never forget, we finished up, and, you know, guys are going their different direction, getting ready to get on the plane the next day, and we're like, hey, that's no big deal, man. We'd gone to Super Bowl 2 years before, and it was like, now we got Marino. We're going to be going to this sucker all the time. We'll draft a few guys. We'll be back. We'll get some guys healthy. Hey, we'll get another shot, you know. And that's the one thing every time Marino talks, his biggest regret, he never got back to one. I got to the one in L.A. against the Redskins that we lost before he got here, so I was able to get to two of them, but yeah, I'll tell you, for a guy that played as long as he did, darn near 20 years, to get to one Super Bowl, and you don't think it's thrown. Every time we talk about the great Super Bowls, everybody talk about the great quarterbacks. Everybody talks about, well, how many Super Bowl rings do they have? Brady and Montana and Roethlisberger. And so I know it bothers Danny a little bit that, you know, he's not mentioned in that group as good as he was, for sure.
Joe, appreciate it. Safe travels. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Hey, nice to be with you guys. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Joe Rose, Miami Dolphins Talk right here. We'll take the break, and we'll come right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, appreciate you staying on hold, and we get to James. Hello, James.
Hi, Grant.
What's happening?
I got two things. The first thing is, this weekend we're definitely going to see how this guy who averages 5 points a game and 5 rebounds a game, Zaza Pachulia, is leading the All-Star game. I know you haven't mentioned the voting.
Give me a break.
That yet, but,
you know what? I don't care. I'm not a fan of the way the NBA puts their All-Stars on the team. I'm against it. I have no problem saying that because I've said it for years and years and years. The All-Star game, to me, the way that the players are selected is wrong. I've said the same thing about Major League Baseball. It's wrong. This is a big honor for players, and every year a player gets screwed because of the system. Now, they have changed the system around a little bit this year, but I think it's wrong.
Obviously, not enough.
It's wrong. It's just wrong. And to me, the fans should not have a vote in All-Stars, okay? It should be the players and the coaches that vote for All-Stars, not the media, not the fans. It should be the players and coaches.
And one thing I take away from last night's loss is every night I go through in the daily games, and I look at who's playing, and it's like last night we had Memphis play, we had Portland play, and they all lost. And these are the games you got to win if you want to catch up in the standings.
Right.
And you see the number ninth, Portland lost,
yeah.
And then they played tonight.
Yep.
And you have Pelicans playing tonight, you have Lakers, you have Blazers playing tonight. And then you got to see, well, these teams got to lose. So, you know, you want to keep it right in the standings where you're going. If the Kings were 18 and 17 right now, they'd only be 12 and a half back instead of 15 and a half back with the Warriors, which makes it you have more room in the standings to work with instead of like only one game right now. You could be more than three and a half games up on the next team.
Well, yeah, but again, thank you for the call. You know, you are what you are. And again, I say that about the NBA, and I say this about all the sports that involve their fans, mm-hmm. Such as Major League Baseball. And I've been very, very critical of Major League Baseball and their All-Star balloting. I think this is a heck of an honor for an athlete to be selected to an All-Star game. And there's nothing worse than to me having a player that is voted to start that does not only not deserve to start, but doesn't even deserve to be on the All-Star team, that takes a spot of a deserving player. It drives me crazy. I am against it. I will always be against it. I do not like the fans voting for All-Stars.
Yeah, when you look at Zaza, and I like what he brings to Golden State. He fits in really well, but to be ahead of DeMarcus Cousins, and there was a couple other people in the voting is just it's crazy, man. Crazy talk.
But again, the way you vote is, I mean, remember when Yao used to be the starting center every year? Mm-hmm. He wasn't better than Shaq.
Yeah, well, China has a few.
That's
people.
What I'm saying. All right, so it becomes a popularity contest.
Right.
And don't tell me that, well, the game is for the fans. Every game that is played on earth is for the fans.
Well, the fans are going to be beneficiaries of the players and the coaches understanding who are the best
yes.
players, so then they're going to get
yes.
to see the best product on the
yep.
floor. So
absolutely. All right, let's get to David. Hello, David. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's up? Hey,
what's happening?
Hey, that whole thing you're talking about right now reminds me of the Kevin Garnett syndrome. I'm sorry. He was a great player, but the last 4 or 5 years, he was just, you know, there was no way he should have been starting on the – or even really an all-star period. It was just like on fame and name kind of thing. And, it, you know, that's how the fans are, but it is unfortunate. But I kind of wanted to talk about the defense. Look, Doug, since you've gone, really, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter who the coach is, who the GM is, who the players are, the Kings just have consistently been one of the worst perimeter guarding teams in the NBA, maybe even history. I mean, they have been horrible at guarding three-point shots, and I don't know what it is about it. It could – I don't believe in curses, but if there was one, I think it would be our perimeter defense over a long period of time. I don't understand why Jaeger doesn't just tell those guys, hey, look, just man up. I mean, no, not man up, but, like, play man – go to the corners, just wait for your guys. What are you guys – I see a lot of those little guys inside
trying
to help out the big men, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, a lot of times what I see is a little bit too much helping each other and sometimes running below the three-point line. What I mean is then both of your feet get on inside of the three-point line. The game has changed. Guys are pulling up way behind it. You have to meet
right.
them above the line, and you just it takes a mental concentration and focus to consistently do that, because sometimes you got to look down and see where you're at on the floor because you just lose it. But the Kings, unfortunately – and Grant mentioned it earlier, a lot of these teams now are coming in here and they're looking at us, at the Kings, as, look, we're going to come in here and smack these guys around. And that gives you confidence in and of itself.
Oh, well everybody knows that that's the key now. If you want to win against them, just jack up threes, because they won't, you know, for whatever reason, they're not able to guard it. I last night when we came back in the game, that lineup they had with, I think it was I'm not sure who was on.
It was Kufis, Tolliver, Temple, Lawson, and Aflalo.
Yeah,
man, you gotta love Temple's game.
He's awesome.
I love what he brings. I love the fact that, you know, he's consistent. He misses shots now and then, but he's just an all hustle guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you love that as a fan.
He's trying to guard the perimeter, but I don't know what to do to cure this problem. But something needs to be done.
All right, hey, we appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, that is 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer. Love having Warren on, the analyst for the Seattle Seahawks radio network. He'll be on next, so we look forward to talking about that Seattle matchup with Detroit right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.